Some people actually just love the product more than the people that are building the product. Some product managers feel the need to not want to be responsible for other people's careers. Hello and welcome. Today we're diving into career paths or career progression for product managers. We'll talk about the two primary tracks that exist for engineers and how this is gradually becoming a theme for product managers and some interesting things to make of this and what that means for your career. So let's go. The tech industry has started to recognize the need for distinct paths and the value that that brings into the career progression of software engineers. For engineers, there are two main paths which have generally been accepted around different software organizations. One being the individual contributor path and the second being the management track or path, if you could call it that. The distinctions between these two paths generally recognizes the need for some engineers who want to specialize and stay focused on technical excellence and make significant contributions through their technical expertise, relative to those that want to pursue the opportunities to lead and coach more engineers in their career progression. That's the distinction between these two paths. So organizations have slightly different roles and levels across the two tracks, but the general principle remains the same. The two tracks formally accept that one does not need to manage a team of people or other engineers in order to progress in their career and build an empire, so to say. Also, one does not necessarily need to be limited within the scope of what they get to do as managing other people. An individual contributor can climb a number of levels or rungs in their career, but they are no less important or less significant than the rungs that exist for the management track. They're just parallel tracks that exist for different people. The individual contributor track focuses on advancing as a technical expert and making significant contributions through hands-on technical work. The path is suited for engineers who prefer to stay deeply involved in problem solving and the day-to-day tactics of how to execute on various projects. In many cases, the level that you see within the engineering track for individual contributors are a junior engineer. That is mostly the entry level for engineers focused on building the foundational skills and competence. The next level is something like a mid-level engineer. At this level, they have gained some more experience and demonstrated some proficiency in their domain of expertise, and are probably responsible for solving a little bit more complex technical problems than an entry-level or a junior engineer would be responsible for solving. The next level that you would typically see within the individual contributor track for the engineers is something like a staff engineer. And at this point, they are beginning to establish more domain expertise, take on more complex technical projects, and also be able to coach other younger or junior engineers in the same field. And lastly, you probably find something like a principal engineer. These are highly experienced and highly skilled and respected technical engineers. They drive the technical strategy for things like infrastructure, for the architecture. They also serve as technical advisor for the overall technical implementation of a software organization, and review how the engineering organization can adopt and use new technologies to drive change and improvement for their product. Those are like the typical levels you would find for the individual contributor part for engineers. Like I earlier mentioned, the titles may vary, the number of rungs and levels may vary, but in many cases, the principle remains the same. The management or the leadership track for engineers generally focuses on individuals that would like to take on more people leadership role involved in managing other people, other engineers in their career and involved in the strategic direction of the business. This path allows engineers to transition from purely technical roles to roles that are more strategic and management in nature that involve technical contributions and managerial responsibilities. And as for the leadership or management track for engineers, you typically find from the mid-level engineer, they evolve into something like an engineering manager who is responsible for a team of engineers, responsible for their career growth and progression, helping to unblock them in different areas, providing guidance and helping them solve problems by themselves without actually telling them what to do. You'll probably find something like a senior engineering manager or a director in some cases, and they oversee multiple teams, multiple projects that are also involving engineers and other individual contributors as well. They are also responsible for setting the technical direction of the engineering organization, the norms within the engineering organization, the operations that make a healthy and working environment for other engineers. And lastly, you'll probably find a vice president of engineering or chief technical officer at the highest level of this track involved in setting the technical direction, aligning the engineering team's goals with the business goals, driving innovation for the engineering organization, and just overall shaping the company's technical vision. These are the different stages or levels that you find within these two tracks for the engineering organization. And again, the titles may change, but the general principle and coverage remains the same. So naturally, at this point, you might be wondering, what does all this have to do with product managers, right? I'm glad you asked. First of all, the product management field has kind of evolved gradually over the past couple of years. And for some reason, it has started to feel quite monotonous. So for example, if someone wanted to still remain within product, but wanted to have the opportunity to experience something else, cases where people would want to have some lateral movement, because everyone was general in their approach to product management for a while, the opportunities to still stay within product and experience something else was very limited, because you've been doing everything anyway, so anything else is still within the context of what you've been doing for a while. Another reason was also the need to enable people or to support a very narrow focus with little clarity of behaviors that actually means job well done, instead of having people do everything on some level. If we have people focused on certain aspects of their work, then the behaviors that mean that they are doing a good job is clear, and they can just own in on that, and it keeps their career very streamlined and very well defined. Another reason was also the need for product management to be seen as sort of a discipline and not a role, meaning something that needed levels that required mastery, not just a role where you had general responsibilities. So there needed to be some form of mastery defined in how you rise up in your career with product management. And of course, there's that need for apprenticeship where people come in, they start from a basic level, maybe through a rotational program or things like that, and they achieve mastery in their product management career. So those are some of the things that actually brought about the need or the consideration for, maybe we need to move things around within the product management space and introduce some hierarchy and levels and defined paths that are specific within the product management space. You know, it was just easy to adopt the dual track product management career path, similar to what we have for the engineering organization, where we have individual contributors and, of course, the management path. For product management, the specialist and coaching path is kind of a parallel to the individual contributor path for engineering. And then the second path is for people management, which is similar and parallel to the managerial path for engineering. So let's start off with what we know, replicating the model that works for the engineering team. That should be easy, right? Yeah. Maybe not. But let's even define what these paths look like. So for the individual contributor parallel, which is a specialist and coaching path for product management, you have someone mid-level, senior product management level. They veer off to something that sounds like principal product manager, and then a staff product manager, and maybe a distinguished product manager. Basically, specialists are involved in tackling the day-to-day of product management, and their focus would not beyond people management. You might still be required to mentor junior product managers, but specifically in the area of your specialization, not necessarily with respect to their career growth and direction and unblocking them and all those kinds of things. No, it's more about the specialization and coaching junior product managers to be specialists at some point, just like you. That's the first track. The track that is for people management is something like the mid-level or senior product management level. They veer off to group product management and something like director or head of product or vice president, which might be the next one, and then eventually a C-level executive, which is a chief product officer. With the people management path, they are generally expected to focus on the career growth of the product management team or the product managers that report to them primarily, and help to figure out how they can have great careers and thrive. Of course, if you can tell, that path is the one that is defined to rise up to like a C-level executive role within an organization. It should work, right? Pretty straightforward. Not really. And in some cases, some people actually focus on both parts in their organizations because of different reasons. They just are good at both and they can swing depending on the needs of the organization. Generally, those are just two distinct parts that were defined for product managers as they rise within their career levels. Now, the part that we may have missed is, while those initial reasons that I gave were the obvious reasons for the different paths and levels within product management, you need to be able to move laterally for apprenticeship, for the product management career to be seen as a discipline, not necessarily a role with responsibilities. You know, those reasons are the obvious reasons. There were some other underlying reasons that fueled this decision. You probably heard of some product managers say, no, I don't want to manage people, at least not right now. But I also don't want to stunt my career growth. Can we stop conflating management with career progression? Basically, some product managers started to feel the need to not want to be responsible for other people's careers. They wanted to manage products and not manage people. So we had to start catering for the possibility that some people actually just love the product more than the people that are building the product. It seemed like a reasonable case to cater to those people. It took no surprise that we tend to associate career ladders with formal hierarchies in organizations, which are usually a sign of bureaucracy, where people are ranked according to some perceived status or authority that they carry. So a product manager that has more influence on a team or on team members, or is able to actually coach them and influence them directly, may be perceived to rise up their career ladder faster than one who just wants to work but not directly be responsible for people or influence people primarily. Also, felt like once you nail the product management role, I mean, there's no space to move anymore unless the person who you report to most, you're probably stunted for a while. So those are some of the inherent reasons that may afford the need for the different parts in product management that are different from the primary obvious reasons, at least the words we could say. So different issues now started to come up with the dual track system for product management. And it makes sense because, for one, an engineer's role is not necessarily and primarily based on influencing people to buy into a vision and get work done. So if you see an engineer great at the engineering, but is also interested in managing the careers of other engineers and interested in the people, that's a unicorn. That's unconventional, and that is going to be celebrated. But for a product manager interested in building the product, but less interested in the careers of the people that are building the product and their interests to support you in building the product, it begs the question of, so how do you want to get the work done? On the flip side, a product manager who just wants to focus on the career paths of other product managers also begs the question of, are you still a product manager or not? Because you are managing other people's career, maybe you're a career coach at that point. But basically, there are more questions with the area of focus for the different tracks of product managers than there are for engineers. Now the problem starts. Let me also highlight a couple of things that may not make the dual track system for the product management career path the most effective. The first is, the effectiveness is highly dependent and varies across different organization, culture, size, and industry. The product management career is fairly new. Let's start from there. And it's implemented differently in different organizations. Quite frankly, you hear some product managers describe what their day-to-day is like, and you really doubt if they are doing product management. So the dual track system is another layer on top of this fairly new career that is quite complex, and it's easy to just abandon the whole thing altogether. Some companies do find alternatives like providing mentorship for their product managers or providing opportunity for the hybrid paths if it's available, and not being able to ensure that people's career progression aligns with the unique needs and challenges within the organization. But where it does not align, the organizations are actually left to no choice than to just put everybody on the same track and address the needs that the organizations have. So the effectiveness of it is quite hindered and stunted by the maturity of the product organization, the industry, the size of the organization, for one. Thing I think might not make this the most effective is I believe it's actually quite laborious to implement these different paths and tracks. Most organizations do not have the luxury of several product managers that can specialize in different paths and everything still gets done. The average small tech organization or startup probably has about 2, 3, or 4 product managers. And having if none of them say they want to specialize in a certain path that is of niche to the business at that point is actually quite risky. So in many cases, product managers get to work on the path that the business has needs for, and if you are really keen on a path that the business does not have need for, then you may have to find another organization that aligns with your career goals at that point in time. That might be the security. It might be quite laborious to implement, especially in small tech companies. The third reason that I think this might be quite ineffective is the lack of clear career growth path for the IC equivalent, which is for the specialist and coaching path for product manager. Unlike the technical roles where the ICs or individual contributors in engineering teams can advance with their skills and depth in their expertise and specialization through complex projects and handling very difficult projects. And hopefully the product organization is maturing enough, the engineering organization also matures enough to be able to provide those opportunities for engineers. That is clearly defined and quite predictable. But the path for specialist product management is really not that well defined and is quite ambiguous, and also leads to ambiguous roles and responsibilities for the specialist and coaching path in product management. So you begin to have questions like, so who owns the roadmap? Who is responsible for influencing the product strategy? To what degree? Who is accountable? And things like that. Without a clear distinction between the specialist path and the managerial path for product managers, team leadership, accountability, and the dynamics and coordination across different teams impacts the overall efficiency negatively and ultimately achieves the opposite of what we're trying to achieve with this specialization in the first place. And then you get to have individual contributor product managers or the specialists start to ask questions like, well, does that mean I cannot be an executive at some point? And then it reduces the incentive for them to specialize. Here is my conclusion. The needs are apparent. It's obvious why this is important to people's career progression and what makes people feel like they're adding value and enjoying their roles in the long run. These are the issues laid out. These are the challenges. These are the reasons why this replication of the exact same path that we have with the engineering organization may not necessarily be the most effective for product organizations. We acknowledge the need for product managers to have and levels and mastery in their career if they want to remain product managers for a very long time. But I don't think that we've successfully nailed the approach to go about this. Your career is in your hands. As an individual, it's essential to consider your own career goals, your preferences, and the organization context within which you are deciding to pursue a path for product management. To remember that career paths are no set in stone, and they can evolve over time. You can change your mind at any point about the direction your career is going. But it's also important to realize that the direction you want to go may not necessarily be one that your organization can cater for. It's important to set those mental blocks for yourself within your career to know where you need to assess your goals and preferences periodically and make the adjustments that you need accordingly, even if those adjustments mean that you have to get another job, even though you love your job right now. Additionally, seeking guidance from mentors and coaches and also networking with professionals in the industry and in the desired field go a long way in helping you figure out how you want to make transitions where necessary with the least risk to your career. Ultimately, choosing a career path that aligns with your goals and preferences greatly enhances your job satisfaction and long-term success, just as a human being. It's a personal journey that requires a lot of retrospection, some research, continuous self-assessment. So take the time that you need, but the danger is actually not considering the opportunities to make the adjustments for yourself while you can. So please do. I hope this was helpful to you and how you consider your career as a product manager. If it was, share this video with your product manager friends, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye.